Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler, won't say it twice cause we already warned you.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 757, Gran Machismo.
Oh.
What?
Joe's not here. We would get a Razor Ramon. There's a whole thing. Never mind. Go on. Continue.
Is that a wrestling thing?
Yeah.
Oh.
He was all about the machismo.
Oh. I did not know that I had made a wrestling reference.
You did, and you didn't even know it.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, there's your one.
That's one out of every 757 episodes, apparently. Right. So I will see you guys in episode 1500 and...
Oh, geez. Carry the one.
Two? I don't know. 12?
New math.
Yeah. So this will be easy. Let's go around the table and everybody can introduce themselves.
This is Kevin.
This is Tom. Joe's out. He's on a family vacation.
Making salsa.
No, he notified us in advance, so that's okay. So it's just the two of us. Don't we'll have to pay for it.
Oh, sorry. I'll do the Will Smith version.
Well, I think you still have to pay for that. Oh. You just have to pay somebody different.
Oh.
Yeah. So we were going to do something else. What were we going to do? We were going to do Equalizer. There was no way to see it. I was in New York this week because my son went off to college.
Had to go see Broadway instead of seeing the new Denzel movie.
Yeah, so I saw MJ. And
how was it?
It was okay.
Yeah.
Obviously the songs are great.
Sure.
And the performances are great.
Oh,
my God. Totally sounded like Michael Jackson. You know what I mean? It had the dance moves down and honestly, the highlight of the show, there's like a little kid who plays Michael Jackson as a little kid. And that was... crazy.
Do they do like flashbacks to Jackson 5?
Yeah, because they kind of tell his life story, except for they mention it obliquely, you know, like it's still just hard to I feel like I can separate it enough to where like if you hear a Michael Jackson song that you like, that you're still like, that's a good song, right?
It's just been so weird since that documentary.
Yeah, but to like watch a whole thing that's about him is a big ask. So it is very, very well done.
Okay.
It's just
weird, yeah.
It was a little weird. So we were up there visiting my son who goes to school in Connecticut. So we stayed in New York and he took the train up. And so that was nerve wracking.
Exciting.
To put him on a train by himself.
Yeah.
Some kids you feel like they've got it, sure. Right? And you're like, he's not one of those kids. So it's but I keep telling my wife, I'm like, look, the only way he's going to get there is to just like, okay, maybe he'll miss his stop and he'll have to take a $50 right. Uber ride. I don't know. And maybe that will finally teach him to pay attention in a different way. You know,
I'm gotta learn sometime.
Right. I'm like, so like, this is what this, yeah. You'll fly a little birdie. So,
right. You can't be there with him. So, right. You know, he'll figure it out. He's a smart kid and a good kid. So.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, you know, not having that safety net is the best course of action. So anyway, so what were we talking about?
Tough love. You're wanting it. Yeah. And you're just saying like, if you miss your stop, I'm not sending you any money. You're going to have to sleep on the curb.
Going to have to wash dishes.
Yeah.
In the back of the Amtrak train car.
There you go.
I don't know. So shameless plugs. Let's do those. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, iHeart, TuneIn, wherever you find a podcast, you can find us while you're there. Be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review.
We have a new one.
Oh, goodness.
Yes. Would you like me to read it?
Well, yeah. That was what the dramatic
pause
was.
This is called filling time because it's not pulled up.
Oh.
Drag it
no,
out.
No, I would not like to hear
well,
it.
Well, that's too
Give
bad.
Give me Tom. Two good reasons why I should want to hear this
review. You know
review.
What? One, it's already pulled up. And two, it's very nice.
Okay.
It's called Keep Up the Great Work, 5 stars. Found your podcast a while back after Kevin guest hosted on another podcast. And after listening to one show, I subscribed. I look forward to hearing, now sometimes watching YouTube, and what you guys have to say on the new releases each week. Love that you guys don't pull punches and both break down movies as well as entertain along the way. I look forward to your new shows every week, and I'm glad you hit every type of movie. Keep up the great work. That is by Matthew Dunn 21.
Well, thank you, Matthew Dunn 21.
Yes.
We look forward to you changing that when you turn 22.
Every year.
Or maybe he was born in 21 and that was written by a 2-year-old, which would
be... Oh, you were saying 2021. I was thinking 1921.
Oh, or 102-year-old. Either way, it's impressive. It's impressive that a 2-year-old could write like that. It's impressive that a 102-year-old can work an iPhone and still go to the movies once a week. Or as he would call them, the picture shows.
The talkies.
The talkies. So, but for real, thank you. But if you like the show enough to leave that review, us talking about you like this is probably exactly what you were hoping for. It's a dream come true for Matthew Dunn 21.
Your life's work. Yes. You'll have to find new goals to achieve.
Add that to your LinkedIn.
Go review Circle of Wizards.
So shameless plugs. Also, don't forget we have a Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. It's called the League of Show Shares because we're hoping you'll share an episode. People who were kind enough to share an episode last week include Tom Dowdy, Travis Tewitt, Ralph Tribble, Tammy Lynn Powers, Betts, Jason McLean, Chris Falls, Glenn Cougar, Mellon Brewer, Julianne Jordan, Jeff Michael, Chris Magic Man, Gabriel Lugo, Dissect That Film, Taylor Ward, Christopher Rex, Edit Photo Gamer, Mike and Oscar, Invasion of the Remake, Batman Rye Guy, Spoiler Piece Theater, We Geek Girls, that's a new one. Hello, girls. You can call them girls because they called themselves girls.
Oh, that's right there in the name.
If it was We Geek Women and I said, hello, girls.
That wouldn't be right.
That would be offensive.
Yeah.
I know these things because I am a feminist.
There you go.
So,
perfect.
Where was I at? Oh, yeah, on the ladies. Feel and Film, Ryan Terry.
Why aren't their names there next week? That's
yeah,
weird.
Yeah. And one and done. It's, you know. Not uncommon for me. Feel and Film, Ryan Terry, Nostalgia Cast, Ronnie Castle, In Session Film, Binge Movies, The Film Bee, Geek to Me Radio, and Matt Naglia. So thank you very much for sharing an episode. We greatly appreciate it. Don't forget, we also have a YouTube channel where you can watch us in color. And
leave comments.
And leave comments.
Like Matthew Dunnigan 734, who I'm going to put on my detective hat, my monocle, and my Sherlock Holmes pipe.
Yes.
I'm going to say that's the same person as Matt.
You put on
Dunn.
A pipe?
No, I'll put on my monocle and smoke my.
Oh, you said Sherlock you were going to put on your monocle and a pipe. Well, I was like, how do you put on a pipe?
Well, I'll show you, Tom. Right
I was
here.
A little worried where it's being put.
That's for Real Spoilers After Dark. It's Ooh. A different show. So I'm guessing that's the same person. So thank you again for subscribing on YouTube. He just had a fun comment on the Blue Beetle episode. He said, how can you use that photo of Tom? It looks like a bad Photoshop. It is a bad Photoshop.
What?
I Photoshopped it.
I don't know what you did.
I put your clip out photo, cut out the background, and put you in the Shining Hotel. What? Like with the carpet in the background, because we weren't, our video didn't work.
Oh, our video. I didn't know, remember? Our video didn't work. I don't remember that.
Yeah, because the thing didn't record, so I had to have you send me your audio, remember?
Okay.
So
you said send me the audio. It never clicked for me that then the video didn't work.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. So I had to scramble for something to put on YouTube, and I cut out your clip out background, the white background of your headshot, and put you with the shining carpet in the background. And then he said, Kevin looks like it's a family photo headshot. It was.
Yeah.
And Joe looks like he's in court trying not to laugh. Just like a picture of Joe in a suit. And he said, overall, love your guys' takes. Keep up the great work.
If Joe was in a suit, he was probably in court. It's the only reason he would wear one.
And Joe did comment and say, I'm always trying not to laugh.
It's because I'm so funny.
Yes. Yeah. And anyway, so thank you very much, Matthew Dunnigan, who may or may not be the same person as our reviewer.
And finally, don't forget we have a Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content. We like you extra, and you get to see where Kevin puts that pipe.
There you go.
So there's all that. Let's dig in, shall we?
So now you went through and played the 7 Gran Turismo games, right?
If this movie didn't tell me it was based on a video game, I would have no idea.
Well, don't worry. They tell you.
Oh, they do they ever.
Okay, so this is going to be interesting because I've been waiting. I haven't talked to you about this movie yet. I want to hear, because you have someone that I grew up playing Gran Turismo on PlayStation 1, the very first game.
I don't mean to be pedantic, but I'm pretty sure it's pronounced PlayStation.
Wow, that's actually good that you know the little intro thing. No, but I played on the original PlayStation. I've played almost every version. I actually haven't played the PS5.
I'm sorry, you played on the what?
I'm sorry, what?
You played on the which console?
The PlayStation.
There you go.
I played on PS1, PS2, PS3. I don't know. I think they skipped PS4, which was very weird to have a whole 8 years of console without a Gran Turismo the whole time. So they came out with this.
It was a dark time in America's history.
It was. I know you were losing sleep over it.
It's a sad, sad chapter.
So there's one on PS5 I just have not played yet. But anyway, so I've played at least 6 of these things, and I grew up playing them, so I'm familiar with what they are and how they operate. And it was interesting to see how they use the game mechanics in the movie. But also, to me, I started off the movie going, man, this feels like a commercial. And I just want to hear from someone who didn't play the games and wasn't familiar, so all this was new information, how that appeared to you. Because the beginning of the movie is like, the creator of Gran Turismo created the ultimate driving simulator. But I'm like, dude, we're at the movie. And
I was like, I don't know. I mean, this is a PG-13 movie. I don't think you're allowed to suck your own dick.
Like, it was...
But here we are.
Like, I mean, I get it. And I'm not saying the game's bad. The game is very good. It's very popular. But, like, the movie opens like it's a commercial for Gran Turismo. I'm like, we're at the movie about this. Like, you don't have to...
The opening of the film. All other driving games are dog.
Precisely. I mean, that is essentially what they're saying. So anyway, I don't know if that was like...
Don't talk like that about pole position.
I don't know if that was a contractual... obviously, Sony Studios or Sony, whatever they're called, like their division is producing the movie. They've got The Last of Us TV show. They did the Uncharted movie with Tom Holland. So they've been on a roll making some money with these movies, and they're obviously very involved. And
the quickest way to know if you're watching a Sony movie... is people actually use Sony phones.
It's the only time
I ever remember that they exist. I'm like, what is that weird thing he's holding? That's not an iPhone. And then it's like, oh, yeah, Sony makes phones. And then, this is a Sony movie.
And then also, they're like buying people MP3 players that no one's ever seen in their life. A standalone
just
MP3
player?
MP3
players at all.
Right. Now
the big question is, wait, do the Sony smartphones not play music?
You have to buy an MP3 player. Like, why not buy him a phone that does it too? But
so I, you know what I think that's about?
What's that?
I think, because this is a true story, and from what I can gather, it's fairly accurate. I think it's because there's a time jump. Like, this movie really is taking place in, like, 2003.
But you know what, though? But this is the strange thing. They have him playing Gran Turismo on PS5.
Right. So the movie is set in the present day. But the story It's based on...
So if he got the guy an MP3 player in 2000, they want to keep that little thing
right.
as part of the story.
Like,
okay,
it's a thing
okay.
he did for this guy.
Because I find this strange that the PS5 just came out a couple years ago, and this is based on a true story from not a couple years ago.
Right.
And so they put it in modern time to sell PS5s and Gran Turismo 7s.
Right.
And so it was a little odd with the time thing, because I'm like, well, either set it in the time, or now you're telling a true story in present day? I don't know.
Right.
That just... Usually when you tell a true story, you put it in the time period,
yeah.
and this is
but
odd,
I guess, too. I guess you could also just take it as, like, I guess this guy didn't even use a smartphone. I don't think we ever really saw him with a smartphone.
He didn't seem like a smartphone type, no.
Because he was still rocking a Walkman, because, yeah. you know, he has to be quirky. And,
yeah.
And so, like, he bought sure. him that, cause, you know.
And this isn't a huge deal. I just thought it was funny
yeah.
that it's like... The product placement was a Sony MP3 player.
I don't think anybody else left making them.
But talking about technology, it's just very funny to put all, like, we've got that, and put all the Sony stuff in there. And it's like, who has that? I've never seen one. I've seen more people with Zunes than Sony MP3
right.
players. Like, people haven't needed an MP3 player since iPods and iPhones came out.
Right.
So it's like, the time gap of people buying MP3 players. It's
yeah.
like, anyway, so the movie starts out like that. And I think as from a movie standpoint, unless you really think people don't know anything about this, that, oh, it's based on, I mean, they're going to show you the kid playing the game. You're going to learn pretty quickly.
Right.
I think as a storytelling and a film thing, I thought that was a really bad way to start the movie.
So as someone who doesn't really play video games,
yeah.
doesn't care about auto racing, and doesn't really care about any of this, that part actually didn't bother me. And
okay.
the reason it didn't bother me is because I didn't realize that Gran Turismo was supposed to be this super in-depth racing simulator.
Okay.
I just thought it was another car driving game, one
I
of
see.
Many. Like, I didn't realize that it did anything different than
okay.
the aforementioned pole
so,
position.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So then it was good maybe to explain what it is, because for listeners that have never played the games or haven't seen the movie and don't understand, the Gran Turismo is very in-depth with what you can tweak. You can take your car apart and you put different tires, different brakes,
right.
different flywheel,
yeah.
racing flywheel, different clutch, different. You really do take apart
right.
every part of the car. And, it
and
is,
like, if I had known that about the game, I promise you, I would never play it.
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
So here's the
like,
difference.
None of that sounds. I know that there are. Clearly, it's a popular game, right?
Yeah.
And I know that there are people out there who would love that sort of thing. Their car. Guys
right.
out there that would be their jam. For me,
right, for a non-car guy,
I don't even change my own wipers.
Right.
That's what I got a wife for. And I'm like, I'm not like not like
yeah.
I'm like, and that's fun?
Yeah.
You're paying someone for that?
which is fine, because you know what, there are a trillion other car
Absolutely.
Games. So
yeah.
so there, you know, these are older games, but through the years you have your Daytona USA, your Cruisin' USA, and Cruisin' Exotica, which is not a porn.
That,
parody.
Oh,
no,
that's
no,
a shame. I was like, wait a second, I might be turning around on this whole
Cruisin' Erotica.
Okay.
Is the parody. Yeah.
Well,
so,
you got to really be concerned too when if you think about the Al Pacino movie Cruisin'.
Right.
Now it's a whole different
that's thing, right?
that pole position means. Entirely different.
So there are all these games that are very arcadey. I mean, they are literally
right.
arcade games, and they've made home ports to the console. So Gran Turismo is a simulator, which means, you know, in Daytona USA, you just turn the wheel to the left or the joystick to the left, and you can whip around corners at 200 miles an
and
hour.
An arcade doesn't have time for you to be changing your brakes.
Right.
Like, they got to churn.
They'd love
people.
The quarters, but
yeah.
You know. So, but in Gran Turismo, if you're going 200 miles per hour around a corner and you just go to the left, you hit the wall or you flip over. Or it's realistic, right? And so this game is really
does it handle like a car?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
because
physics...
that's all, I will say. Whenever I've played car driving games, I'm really bad at them.
Yeah,
and I don't feel like I'm really bad at driving. Like mm-hmm. I'm still alive.
Right,
I haven't killed anyone. Not, you know,
but at high speeds, handling a car would be very different.
Yeah.
Than, so,
but whenever I play those games, I'm like, this doesn't feel like a car at all.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and so I just chalked it up to where it's like, well, I probably shouldn't get good at this because then I'll get in the car and I'll feel weird. And so,
so it feels more like driving a car, because when you're playing, just again, like if you're playing cruising at, you know, at the movie theater arcade and or Daytona, USA, and you turn to the left, your car just like goes left. Like you can go 200 miles an hour and it just goes across the screen. Like right. It's very like you hardly press it and your car goes across the screen. Right.
Yeah, sensitive. It's just very sensitive.
So
yeah.
No. So Gran Turismo is more realistic with the way you do things, but it isn't arcade, right? So there's arcade and there's simulator. And so the arcade games are very fun, but for driving enthusiasts, that's not how a car handles.
Right.
So what Gran Turismo does is you not only take apart your car, upgrade it, do all this stuff, but when you're on the track, you have those lines. And what they show in the movie, I thought was very clever, how in like the real life action of him racing the cars, they would put the red lines mm-hmm. and the green lines and the yellow lines. So it tells you how to take the turn.
Okay.
And as you accelerate or decelerate, the line will turn from red to yellow to green. Like in real time, it changes because if you take the turn at 200 miles an hour.
It's like a tutorial.
Yeah, it may be bad to take the turn like that. And you
like
can,
sometimes you're going into a turn and you want to speed up,
right?
Like it makes you cling
or inside or
right.
outside, or
yeah. So it, yeah. It's counterintuitive, like you're like, you know,
right? It
and
feels
you
very
really got to, you know, work yourself into the mindset of like, no, this is not suicide,
right?
Like I should speed up right now. And so, is there a setting in the game that you could turn that off?
Exactly,
like if you get really good now, like you know.
Like these world champions.
Like the expert
they don't wanna,
level on Rock Band.
Right. So people can turn those off because they don't want to see those lines. But as you're learning, and it is standard, like they will turn, they turn on. And that's how, like, I didn't know how to take those turns when mm-hmm. I first started playing the games.
Right, right.
I would always want to go on the inside because I was like, well, if I turn on the inside and I can't, like, turn tight enough, I'll go to the outside. Like, I
it gives you
intuitively.
Some, you feel like it gives you margin for error.
Right. But yeah. That's not how it is. You take the turn wide and go into, you know, so there's that whole thing. So the movie does a great job of representing that visually.
One of my complaints is they don't do it enough.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, when in an early scene where he's like the cops are chasing him and he gets away from it and it's like cop avoidance achievement unlocked.
I didn't like that because there's no cops in Gran Turismo and there's no mode like that. So that was
gotcha.
So unreal. I get what they were doing, like putting him in a video
right.
game. And I think taking the turns and stuff was cool. But when they made up achievements and cop avoidance.
So see, I didn't know that that wasn't a thing. I was wondering why there were cops at a race
Grand
track.
Grand Theft Auto would do that.
For sure.
But Gran Turismo
but
is a track
would,
game.
But I
there's
thought
no,
there would be more of that. And what was weird yeah. is when he had other achievements, like when he finally wins a race to get his racing license,
yeah.
I thought we'd get another one. And we didn't. Like
yeah.
they never did it again, and so
it does it one time, and it's not,
and it's not really part of the game.
To, yeah, so
yeah.
I didn't like them making up.
No,
for,
I get that
for someone for 20 years that's seen the Gran Turismo games to see like cop avoidance achievement. I don't know. It was weird. I didn't like it. I get that he lives in video games, but he really just lives in this game,
right?
And that game doesn't have that,
right,
so
right.
I wasn't a huge fan. And if they were going to do it more, like you said, like make it a thing, like
right.
lean into it and do it more, so. You know, I love Scott Pilgrim, and that game is based on a manga, and it's very video game and out there with all the art style. And it's cool that things pop up on the screen and achievements and levels, and they do
but
it the whole movie.
But it's not based on a specific game, so they can kind of
yeah.
they can crib from anything.
True,
you
but
know?
But the style, it's consistent at
right.
least, right? So like the, it's a, you know, they play a video game. There's all that stuff. So anyway. I did think tonally it was a little weird like that. But overall, I really liked it. I liked how they showed him in the game when it first starts out. So there's this kid, and I, you know, the character names, they escape me. So I'm going to look them up here real quick.
Does it matter?
Probably not, but just for the ease of talking about it, instead of going,
yeah.
him, he did this. So Jan Mardenborough. Now, these are based on real people. So Jan is the main character, played by Archie Madwick. Really, other than him, the two other main people in the movie are his like driving coach, Jack Salter, played by David Harbour. And then Danny Moore is someone working in marketing for Gran Turismo and trying to pitch Nissan about putting on this competition. So he's played by Orlando Bloom.
I believe it's pronounced Nissan.
Yeah. If,
God, that drove me crazy.
In my head, it's like saying Porsche. You know, like...
Yeah.
In my head, I'm like, I know it's pronounced like Nissan, just, you know, like that's the way. But like when I went to say it, I'm like, I can't say that.
No.
I
did think it was interesting that like later when you hear the TV people.
Yeah.
They do have the American announcer saying Nissan.
Okay. Because it's like that's what
yeah.
everyone says.
Yeah. Well, at least apparently everyone here,
yeah.
everyone
yeah.
there says Nissan.
Yeah. But. You know, so either way, potato, potato,
yeah.
right? So those are your main characters, and obviously there's other people on his drive team. Damon Hansu plays the father. And there's a bunch of other random people in his life. But those are your main cast of characters. And so Jan is really deeply into driving this driving simulator, Gran Turismo, which he's playing on PS5. So again, it's a modern update. You're seeing like the most recent version of the game, which is a marketing thing. Again, this story didn't take place in the last couple of years, but he's playing on the newest system. It's a, you know, commercial for the game. But he's playing this nonstop. And his dad is a former soccer player, and he wants him, his younger brother is really into soccer, and Jan doesn't want anything to do with it. So his dad is, you know, looking down on him playing these games all the time, and he's like, when are you going to grow up? And
you're wasting your time playing the video games.
Exactly. Like, doesn't he know if this is set in modern times? Like, there's people making millions of dollars in video games. But I'm sure the real dad was, skeptical, because especially when it was taking place. I mean, what are you doing wasting your time on those games?
I mean, ultimately, I don't like when movies do this, because it's like, obviously the dad's wrong, but he's not wrong, right? Like it's
99 percent of the time the dad is right.
Yes, like
we know because we're watching this movie,
right? It's a fluke, because part of what the dad was concerned about was like, it doesn't matter how good you are at video games, racing cars is for the uber wealthy.
Right.
You don't have a path to that world. There's no way for you to get there from here.
Yeah.
And it's only because they decided to do this marketing stunt and find kids that were good at the game and put them behind the wheel of the car and see if they would kill themselves. Like, that's the only reason that there was no reason to think that anything like this would ever even occur. I mean, it's basically Willy Wonka, right?
Yeah, no, it really does feel like that. I was thinking the same thing. And also, the dad doesn't understand that this is a simulator, similar to you, right?
Right.
Like, it's just not, when you think about playing racing games, I mean, the dad probably played them in the arcade, you know?
Right.
You don't think that you could go from playing an arcade game with a joystick, or even if you have a wheel, but, you know, to driving a car. There's no path that
playing
takes
Call
you from,
of Duty
doesn't make you
don't make you no Navy SEAL,
right,
son.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, what are you going to do when you get out there? So the dad is very right in his thoughts, and the dad is not a bad person.
Yeah.
And he's not played up to be a jerk. The dad is played up to be realistic.
Right.
So, like, we're not hating on him. Like, it's very normal,
because the dad's not even against chasing your dream. He's like, but the like soccer's the dream, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, you could go be a soccer player,
right?
Like, maybe go do that, not but like playing video games.
But and also, we didn't see a lot of the dad being like, you know, I'm taking your driving wheel and breaking it over my knee, or like, you know, he wasn't destructive. He wasn't like,
when you played the game, did you use a controller or the wheel?
A controller for the most part. Those wheels are really expensive.
Oh, are they?
They're like $400. They have force feedback and pedals and all that stuff.
So have you ever played on a wheel?
Yeah, I eventually got one for Xbox, which Gran Turismo is on Xbox, but with force feedback, and I've played with a wheel other racing games.
Does it feel like a car?
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, so the expensive ones, again, so they have like the feedback vibration, but they lock you in a way to where there's resistance.
Okay.
So when you're going faster and around a corner, you can't just even take the wheel and turn it all the way. Like, it feels like you're
on
the ground.
You.
Yeah, it fights you. Yeah. So it's really neat. For people that have played these games, there's a series called Forza on Xbox, all the way from the original, you know, Bill Gates and The Rock.
I believe it's pronounced Xbox.
So For that Microsoft system, there is Forza, there's Forza Motorsports, and there's Forza Horizon. And now Forza Horizon is the fun, I want to say arcadey, super fun. I have played Forza Horizon thousands of times more than Motorsports. Motorsports is the simulation. It's their answer to Gran Turismo.
Okay.
And it's not fun, because I'm not looking for that in my racing games.
Yeah, that sounds boring.
Yeah. And,
oh, I guess I didn't have the right brakes on my car.
Right.
Let me check.
It's not fun.
Yeah.
If you're into that gives you most people can't afford to just go buy a racing flywheel and go buy and soup up their car, and especially with these supercars and these Porsches and Ferraris. So if you're into that, I totally get it. And I played Gran Turismo for a long, long time. But once Forza Horizon came out, I found that was so much more fun because it was a perfect combination of, you still get a little bit of realism and they use real car brands and everything, but also you're going in the snow and through fields and there's drift challenges and you get points for running into things. And then they're like, here's a speed trial, go from point A to point B and you have to reach 177 miles an hour. And it's just, it's so fun because there's all these challenges, there's ramps and there's things to collect and jump off. So it's, if the graphics look realistic, the cars look realistic, they still handle more realistic, but you're not on a track. You're right out in the world and you go to the different biomes, you go to the snow and the desert and all this stuff. So if you've not played it, if you have the Microsoft system that starts with an X, I won't name it because Tom will make me say it, but if you have that system and you haven't checked it out, those games are great. And I think on Xbox Game Pass, which is their subscription model, you get a lot of their, or all their first party Microsoft games, okay, included for 10 or 15 bucks a month. It's, yeah, on there and it's, yeah, super fun. So anyway, that's what I got my, with the 360, I got the Force Feedback wheel, and it is really fun to have those. They're expensive, but I think I might have traded stuff in at Funko Land back in the day, right, or something, and got a deal.
Well, yeah,
on,
I mean,
it,
that's like buying a whole other system.
Yeah,
game it, system.
Well,
it, yeah,
it, those. I mean, exactly. Games, especially back then, the 360 was only, I think, $300, and the steering wheels were $300, right?
Yeah.
Now game systems are $500, but back then $300 was the price, right?
Right.
I mean, a lot of PlayStation 1 came out at $299, and then it eventually dropped to $199, and then $149 to compete with N64. So, like, back then they were even, they got down to some really low prices,
right?
But the wheels, because of all the technology in them, you know, they were $200 to $300.
Yeah.
So they've really improved them, though. And again, that was a long time ago. I haven't played them recently. I'm sure the feedback and everything is like super realistic now. I mean, you know, they've gotten better, but
yeah, it's all, that stuff has only gotten better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. So this kid is, you know, he's got his head in the clouds. He's playing this driving simulator. He wants to drive cars, but he doesn't have the means to do it, like Tom said. And then out of the blue, you know, it cuts to Japan and Orlando Bloom is at Nissan, because he's in Japan, so
right,
you know, he's at Nissan.
Yeah, we want to be culturally sensitive.
And he does a presentation to the people of the company, and he's saying that Gran Turismo is the ultimate simulator, again, another commercial for the game. And they're looking at him like, you're insane. He basically says, we want to take sim drivers and we want to put them on the track and prove that Nissan's cars are the ultimate cars and that this game can teach you how to drive. It's never been done before. And, you know, it's pretty much that stereotypical pitch meeting thing. And he's,
yeah,
leaving. He's like, they wait until he's like waiting to pick up,
right,
his car from valet parking or whatever.
We've decided to do it.
We've agreed on it. We've approved it. Shake your hand. It's like,
yeah,
was there a better way to tell him that than,
yeah,
when he was about to leave? Anyway, it's just a weird thing in movies they do where it's,
for
that,
sure, yeah,
he leaves dejected,
it's such a trope,
and the guy comes,
yeah,
up and he's like, you left your folder, and by the way, we approved your multi-million,
right,
dollar experiment.
Just no one had the balls to tell you to your face.
Yeah, we all looked at you like you're crazy, and then,
yeah,
you left, and in the 5 minutes we agreed, we got approval, we got the funding.
Yeah.
Anyway, just a weird movie trope. But you know, he's like, yes.
I didn't, yeah, like this character.
Which one? Bloom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I felt like they didn't know what to do with him.
Is,
like,
he the bad guy? Is,
right,
he the good, yeah.
They because you could tell there's a moment in the script where I feel like he was supposed to become the guy who only cared about the success of this project,
yeah,
even more than he cared about the health of the people,
yeah,
or well-being of the people competing, right?
Or the morality of the ethics,
right,
of it all. Like, when we see him,
right,
try, I mean, and you get where he's coming from, but also it's just not right when he's trying to say, like, this guy won, but he only won by a couple thousandths of a second. Like,
right,
what does it really matter? And David Harbour's character is like, but he didn't win. Like, that's what racing is. Sometimes it comes down to a photo finish. Like,
right,
it doesn't, they don't go like, ah, we'll give this guy the gold because,
yeah,
his car looks fancy.
Well,
it's,
and
like,
then there's also that moment when he kills a guy where he's kind of like, let's get back to it.
Yeah.
So, like,
when Jan accidentally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, I really thought that there was going to be, like, a turn.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like there's a version of the script where there is, and then
They said, this is promoting Gran Turismo.
Right.
Like, this guy is the marketing department,
right,
of Gran Turismo.
Yeah,
they can't,
like,
be like, he's,
yeah,
he was a villain.
We're not going to do that.
Yeah. Pump, yeah, the brakes would be a good,
yes,
thing to say in this situation. But anyway, so they, you know, he gets the pitch. Jan is like, They'd show a little bit of his home life, not a ton, but the younger brother's like, hey, we're going to sneak out your window and go to the party. And Jan, you know, he's like, no, I'm not doing that. And he's like, but the girl you like's gonna be there. And so of course he's like, all right, he axe bombs his room like nothing else. Like, it's funny because the brother was in the room because they're gonna sneak out, then they don't show the brother and they show Jan like spraying the axe body spray all over him, and I'm thinking, like, you know, and there's a little thing where the brother's like, P.U., but like, where, like, the room's only so big, like, that guy would be choking.
Right.
But he was spraying it all over. But they sneak out, they go to a party, he talks to the girl who's leaving to go to college somewhere else, they have a little, you know, cute moment, but nothing really happens. The cops show up, they all escape, and this is the scene Tom was talking about where Jan is the sober driver, and so they all get, you know, are trying to drive away, but then the two of the kids are being stupid. They're handing beers out the window, passing them between moving cars. The car gets too close and clips the mirror. A cop sees it and then tries to pull him over. And then the two cars pull over together, one in front of the other. Jan's car is in the front, and he realizes the cop's like giving a ticket to the guy behind them. So he just takes off, and the guy gets in the car, drives out. I'm guessing the guys behind them were happy about that because they're like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. But anyway, so he goes on a little car chase, and the camera system turns into the view. Again, this is a clever thing if you've played the games. So most racing games do this, but you've got the cockpit view, you've got like one out, then you've got the really far away view where you can see the car. And so this does like the medium camera angle to where you're outside the car but just barely above it, and it tracks them, you know, kind of like Steadicam as they're driving
around. I feel like there wasn't enough video game stuff in this movie.
Okay.
Like, I feel like there should, like, I don't feel like the racing scenes ever really pulled me in the way, like,
I wonder if it's because you don't play the games, though, because to me, I thought they got too cutesy with some of the video game stuff, because to me there's a lot of video game stuff, and I think maybe if you don't,
I didn't like the when they're pulling the car apart and putting it back together. I thought that was cheesy.
It's cheesy, but again,
it's funny. Like the video game stuff I don't like, you do like, and the stuff that they when they're not doing it. And I wish they were.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I think that's just the difference of playing all the games.
Yeah.
And so, like, you're looking for something else or not used to that. So the pulling apart thing. So throughout the film, when he's playing GT in his bedroom, they show him at the – looks like a computer, but, you know, he's playing at the PlayStation. And then all of a sudden, this CG representation of, like, a blueprint diagram of a car model goes over him, and it looks like he's in the car. And then he's playing the game, but you see him in the car. Like, I thought the visuals were really cool. And this movie's directed by Neil Blomkamp, who, you know, did
one good movie.
District 9. But then he did Elysium. He did Chappie. He was going to do an Alien movie, which I was really excited for. That got scrapped.
Yeah, even though I didn't like Elysium or Chappie, I was kind of like, I'm doing an Alien movie.
Because
okay.
District 9 was so good. I saw District 9 in the theater. I think I had to go to the Art House Theater to see it, and I loved it. I mean,
yeah.
I left that movie so excited for what that guy was going to do.
Right.
Because that movie was so good.
And now he's just trying to prove, I can make a normal movie and not screw it up.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I will never watch this again, but it was fine
for
what it was.
It's not a great movie, but I thought it was very entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good story. So yeah, overall, the movie is totally fine. And so hopefully he'll be able to do some, you know, I would love for him to get creative again like he did with District 9. It's just Elysium and Chappie's weird. I like Chappie. It's weird for sure. I'm not going to doubt that. It's totally weird. But I would like to see more original things. Like, this movie was very cookie cutter. This is your underdog story, whether it's a hockey movie.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Any sports movie. This is your underdog sports movie.
Yeah.
And it's a formula that they make them because it works, and true stories do happen. Kurt Warner's story, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's working at a grocery store and becomes Super Bowl MVP.
Right.
Like, it really happens, and it's an underdog story. People love them. So, you know, no knock on him for telling this true story and telling it well. It's just, I do want more District 9s and Chappies, if not exactly Chappie, but you know what I mean?
Right.
I want the creativity. I want the weird sci-fi stuff. So hopefully I'll get more shots at it. So he's playing at the computer. The car goes over him. And so during race scenes, they'll kind of do that in reverse, right? So he's actually in a car, but where we saw him in the bedroom, CGI car blueprint model over him, putting him in the race, they take him out of the race, detach the car in reverse, and then kind of show him like what it was like simulating this in the bedroom. I liked the representation of that. I like how it put us in his head and how he was able to cope with the real stuff and remember what it was like doing the simulation and the software. And I don't know. To me, that really worked. At first, when I saw it, I'm like, oh, this is a little... I get what you're saying. It is kind of cheesy, but also I think it was a cool way to get into his head because it's hard, I think, to represent, especially if you don't play games.
Right.
You know what I mean? What you're doing is you're seeing someone play a screen, and that's very hard to be exciting.
Yeah.
And so to see the mechanics of the car and what the game allows you to do and picking parts apart and everything, like, I did think it was a neat representation because that's one of the number one things I think video game movies struggle with is how do you show people on the big screen playing a video game without making it boring, without just showing a video game? How do you put what the player is seeing? And so anyway, it is what it is. They get in trouble. The dad finds out he wrecks the car. He brings him to – he works at the train yard, and they're coupling trains and stuff. And the dad is basically saying, you're wasting your life, blah, blah, blah. Jan gets mad, and it's interesting because, like, the dad isn't even – like, he's a good guy, like we said. And, Jan wrecked the car, took the blame, and then he allowed Jan to just walk away from him.
Right.
He's like –
and the dad's not like, go get a real job in the train yard. He's like – You're working in the train yard so you can see that it sucks.
Yeah.
And, like, go back to school and get a non-train yard job.
Yeah.
Because this is awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they get into an argument, and Jan's like, I'm out of here. Because meanwhile, his friend's texting him, and his dad's like, what, you got somewhere to be? The friend that works at, like, an internet cafe, but they do play the racing games there, he says, there's this new contest. And he tells him about the Gran Turismo Academy, sponsored by Nissan, and the competition. They're going to take the best sim drivers, like the top 12, I think, 10 or 12 sim drivers from around the world. They want someone from each country to be represented. And so there's going to be this big championship, and you got to enter. Like, this is your chance to really drive cars. And so the thing's going down, of course, when he's at the train yard, and so he's able to walk away, like, pretty non... I thought it was going to be a big deal, but he just told his dad off, and he just goes. Right. I'm like, oh, that was... He got off pretty easy on that one. Okay. You know, he gets there. He, like, last minute is like, I guess they take their shoes off. I've never played video games without my shoes on. He takes his shoes off to go in the racing thing. I don't know why. Like, I mean, driving a normal car, you're supposed to have your shoes on.
I think because he's playing in his bedroom, and, like, when you're sitting around the house, you don't sit around the house with your shoes
on.
That
makes sense. So he would have the same feel as when he's practicing, because it would make a difference. The pressure. Okay, cool. I thought it was a little funny. Like, take your shoes off before you play the racing game.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good call. So he competes, and, you know, again, it's video game in a movie. You know, it's down to the wire. He's almost gonna lose, and then he ends up winning. I can't remember. But he does the things.
But he a split second photo finish.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah.
Foreshadowing for things to come, certainly, in the rest of the movie. So he gets into the academy. Meanwhile, Orlando Bloom is trying to enlist all these. Who's going to run this academy? We need a real race car driver. Well, real race car drivers don't exactly respect video gamers, right?
Nobody's going to walk away from a real established career to roll the dice on this group of ragtag ne'er-do-wells.
And also, you get it, right? Like, again, this is not like a bad guy thing, and I know they sometimes try to represent people being jerks, but you got to understand, these people are out there for their entire lives and careers, risking their lives in real cars.
Right.
And if you get a guy playing video games coming in...
It sounds like a dumb idea.
You're going to go, like,
have to assume that it was eventually deemed a dumb idea because... I don't feel like they're still doing this, right? Like, this guy did it, and he still races professionally. But they're not still taking video game kids and putting them behind the wheels of cars, right?
Right. Not that I know of. And it's a crazy idea. Once they saw the risk of it, I think they're like, this is the one. Like, it worked out by the grace of God, just barely. People were hurt still.
I was going to say, by the grace of God. Well, I think there's family of a dead guy who might feel a little differently.
Now, and, you know,
I'll never drive a Nissan again, I'll tell you that.
And we'll get into that. But
they're driving Nissans for free the rest of their lives,
right?
Depending on the settlement.
It worked out, based on a true story. But they're not doing it again because the risk, as everyone in the movie said, is too great. You're taking people that don't know what they're doing, and I get that they are wrongly downplaying the skill of these sim drivers because throughout the movie, Jan is fighting with everyone saying, I've put more time into these cars than you have on the track driving them in real life because he has access to every car. every track, every part. Even if you're a race car driver, to a certain extent, like, you get what you can afford or your team can afford.
And there's only so much time they're going to let you practice on the Le Mans track.
Absolutely. Yeah. Which is weird when they just, the next day, just let drivers drive their car onto the Le Mans track to look at their accident sign. That was a little weird because I'm like, who?
Right.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the point being, like, I get both sides, but I do not think the racers, for all the, now, there's obviously, there's the, there has to be a D-bag villain who is ultra mean and ultra terrible, and he's the villain, right? But for the people giving him guff or were a little bit unsure of the idea, it's because it's a crazy idea, and they've put the time into it, so I totally get both sides. But to Jan's point, he's put so many thousands of hours, and the simulator is so good, as we've been told many times.
Right.
It's a very good simulator. So Orlando Bloom's scratching.
Well, and I think something that if people don't play the games, they – I wouldn't have known this, but that the tracks they're racing on, they are replicating those tracks 100%. Within the game. So, like,
they're not going to Scooby-Doo fields.
Right.
You know, like, they're...
So he's very intimately familiar with the courses he'll be racing at the professional level. So, I mean, you can, it's not a crazy argument.
Simulators in the military, right?
Yeah.
Airplane simulators. When you become a pilot, flight simulators. Simulators have been used.
I would think that in today's world, there probably isn't a racer alive that isn't playing Gran Turismo.
Right, or some kind of simulator.
Just to familiarize themselves with the tracks.
Why would you not? And your time, money, like you said, access to these things, especially because you know these racers probably have a $50,000 rig where they're in a car with a seatbelt. Like, they've got all the devices and the panels and the feedback. Like,
they're doing it on different equipment.
But they're why would you not, right? So a simulator has been used for space and military, and simulators have been used for a long time, and there's no reason to think Jan using the simulator is not training him, because that's a lot of times how people are trained. So Orlando Bloom's scratching people off the list, and he gets to the very last guy, and he writes, you know, NFW, no effing way, about David Harbour's character. So David Harbour was a race car driver. Like Jerry, he was a race car driver. He washed out because we don't know. It's a mysterious.
Yeah.
We don't know why he hung it up, but he was a race car driver that never made it to the big times, but he had the shot. He was one of the best drivers, this legendary racer that hung it up, and no one really knows why, but he's now a mechanic.
Well, no, I feel like everybody knows why.
They just don't tell us,
the main character of this movie.
Fair. We're in the dark.
Who apparently... Sony phones, not only do they not play MP3s.
They don't have Google.
They don't have Google. Yeah. Like, are you telling me this kid wouldn't just, when they were, he was like, oh, that's his story to tell you. He wouldn't just be like, Google, boop, boop, boop. Yeah. Oh, you killed a dude driving.
They honestly use Ask Crash Bandicoot. That's the website you have to go to. Ask Crash.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I didn't even need to Google it. I was like, well, clearly he killed a guy while he was driving.
Yeah, he was
like,
really good. Why would you quit?
Yeah. Like, this...
So he doesn't know why. We don't know why. But anyway, he's working for a mechanic for, I don't even know. We're just going to call him Villain Race Cars, Inc. The bad guys of the story are
Racer Ass.
Yeah. So they're big, like, the people with all the money have the racing team. It's like Ivan Drago, you know?
Right.
Like, they're the bad guys that are all about training, and they're hard on their kids, and they've got all the money and the resources, and when they get mad, they throw their helmets and stomp on them and break them, and, you know, they're just jerks.
Right.
They're rich D-bag people. And so he's working as a mechanic, and people are treating him poorly because he's an outsider that is, you know, washed up in their eyes, and he's just doing the mechanic stuff. So they go to a dinner one night, and we see a scene where the D-bag main racer kid on the team is taking a turn, and we see David Harbour notices he doesn't take it right. And at the dinner, when they're all celebrating, he's like, you know, you should have pulled to the left or decelerated around the turn, whatever. He says something to him, and the guy is like, I didn't ask for advice from you, old man, or whatever, you know, whatever. So they get into a conflict, and even though David Harbour thinks this whole plan is crazy, he's like, I'm going to show him. You know, he's got that thing where, like, I'm not going to work for these a-holes. So he calls him up, says, I'll take the job, reluctantly. And
I've done some research because I was curious how much of this is a true story.
Yeah.
I could find stuff, and I didn't admittedly dig all that hard.
Okay.
But I found lots of stuff about whether or not, like, the main guy, Jad, what is it?
Jan?
Jan, there we go.
Yeah.
About his story. And from his vantage point, this seems fairly true.
I like when they show the photos at the end, and you're like, they recreated a lot of stuff.
And the actor looks like him.
Yeah, they did a good job.
But I couldn't figure out if this guy's story is...
Yeah, I, you know, I admittedly myself, I haven't had a lot of time. I did not look up a lot about the true story, so I will have to leave.
He feels like a made-up character.
Yeah.
Even the name feels like a made-up character.
Jack Salter.
Yeah.
Jack Slater's from Last Action Hero. Now, Jack Slater in this movie, that would be interesting. Yeah. So he gets him on the team. They show up to GT Academy. It's the thing with the, you know, he's a real hard ass. Like, this guy is... You know,
he doesn't want to get anybody killed.
He doesn't. He's very skeptical, and rightfully so.
Right.
And he's, you know, he's tough on these kids. He's training them. They're, you know, they're one by one. They all leave. Right.
Right.
So they're in real cars. They're all, I wish they weren't all these white Nissans. Like, I wish they changed them up a little bit. Every car.
Yeah. Cause
is
it was hard to tell who was winning.
Yeah.
Because the cars all look the same.
And they're these really awesome, I think it's a Nissan Skyline GTR.
But give them a different stripe or something.
A different color, right? Why can't they each have
White with like a red stripe or a blue stripe.
And I don't know if that is because they didn't know what characters they wanted in each. Like, they filmed a whole bunch of stuff, and it may have been for ease of like, we'll just show the white cars doing this stuff, right? And stunt drive. Like, they didn't want to maybe coordinate it all. But anyway, they're all in these cars, and they're going around cones, and they're starting and stopping, and you know, everyone's doing really well, but as people, like, they crash or they don't do something right, he's basically like, you're out, you're out, you're out. And there's a really close call that Jan has. He actually has David Harbour in the car, and they're driving around the track, and they're racing with all the other kids. And there's this, I think his name is Matt, Matty, I don't know why I remember this character, the USA kid. He's cocky.
He's white.
No.
Nice, Kevin.
No, he's cocky, but he's not a jerk, but he is a little, he's the Top Gun Maverick. He's that Glenn Powell character.
He looks
like he
would be one of the Franco brothers.
I seriously was like, did they want Dave Franco? I thought the exact same thing. He looks just like him. But he's cocky, but he's like the guy that's going to be a good guy later. You can tell it's that archetype, right?
Yeah.
Glenn Powell and Top Gun. He was cocky, but now he, you know, saves.
But when the time is right, he will do the right thing.
Right. Yes. So he's, this is like the number one guy, and he's going to win it all. And he's, you know, he's doing whatever he has to do. And he, Jan goes to overtake him, and he ends up like trying to close the gap and stop him from doing it. And so instead of putting on the brakes, like, David Harbour's like, slow down, whatever. And he's like, I'm trying to, the brakes aren't working. And they crash into the barrels, and no one's injured, but, like, you know, they're going fast. It could have been really bad. And you're like, God, he's going to be out. And David Harbour's like, you can't do that. You have to either, you know, if you're going to overtake someone, you either do it or you slow down with enough time. You don't change your mind while you're doing it. I don't remember the line, but you don't, that's not how you do it.
And commit.
And he says, my brakes were glazed, which is a thing that I don't understand.
I don't know.
it's bad. I know it's bad, right? My guess is that means that they were like frozen, like they wouldn't work because, and I don't know what glazing is, but
when brake pads are glazed, the brake pad should be replaced. Well, no. Glazing compromises and ruins the friction material. The calipers and hydraulic system should be examined for mechanical problems or failure. If glazing happens often, the driver will need to evaluate their driving style.
But no one says what glazing is. I just have no, as a non-car guy, even though I played these games, I don't remember Gran Turismo ever going, oh, your brakes are glazed. Let's change them. So
the brakes have been heated to the point that the material within the brake pad hardens and smooths.
So that's what glaze. Okay, it's just like you glaze a ceramic thing. Like, it's been heated up so hard that it's.
If when they say you evaluate your driving style, I guess if it happens a lot, you're riding your brakes too much.
They're heating up and turning hard, so the discs won't go won't against
grip.
The pad. Exactly.
It's like,
that's what I thought.
So if you're riding your brakes too hard, I think you're a pussy.
Oh, there you go.
Is what they're saying. They're saying, don't be a pussy. Are actually saying, either be a pussy or don't be a pussy.
But don't be in the middle.
Don't be half a pussy.
Commit.
Yeah.
Just commit.
Which I think that's a hate crime.
Is it?
Telling someone not to be half a pussy. You're allowed to be that now.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, so
Kevin's like, note to self, remove that in editing.
Yes, I will look for, why did I freeze for 5 seconds? Like, oh, Tom is saying something I have to remove. So to show you, like, this is another movie language of saying, like, Jan is really good. Because even though he's only ran the simulator, and also Gran Turismo is very good, because Jan knows his brakes were glazed.
Right.
And it wasn't his, maybe someone else's, I don't know if they all drive the same car, unclear. But the point is, the car had a mechanical failure. Jan blames it on the car, and David Harbour's like, nice try.
Like, but you would even know what glazed brakes feel like.
You play video games. And again, this is another thing to show you, like, Gran Turismo is the real deal. Like, I don't know if it does this, but they're telling you, like, even people playing the game.
But, and I would get, even if you were willing to accept the idea of a simulator, I'd be like, well, how do you even get the feel of glazed brakes in a controller?
I'm guessing what it means. And actually, the parts, I think, do wear out, and you have to change them in some modes. Yeah. I could be wrong, but I've played games like this. So if your car isn't handling well, you can check it, and it will tell you, like, the percentage that you've used of the brakes, and you need to change them. So in a big race, actually, you do have to pit, I think, and change those things. So that's how he knew. So to show you that Jan is really good, he's like, no, I know this. Like, you need to trust me. I know what I'm talking about. Jack says, you're out. If the brakes aren't glazed, you're out, basically. Like, you better hope that you're
like,
know what
you're talking
about.
Yeah, if you're right, then I'll accept this. If not, then yeah.
But you're on thin ice either way. So he checks him out. The mechanic drives the car. He comes back and he's like, kid was right. They were glazed. And so, you know, and he has, like, not quite a smile because, I mean, this character is very much not a fun-loving guy, you know?
He does have a moment of, like, okay, well, this kid actually knew a thing.
Which, like, is, like, I guess a video game of this caliber can do something. And I have to say, I think David Harbour gives an excellent performance in this movie. I think he's very good. Is this character. I don't know. I think to have a video game movie like this, and I know this is a real story with video games around it, but in general, it's just hard to have a video game movie and take it seriously, the subject matter, and
I will admit, when I saw the trailer for this movie, and then they're like, oh, we're taking the kids to play the video games, and then at the end, they're like, based on a true story, I was just like, oh, boy. Like, that's not a true story. Like, I was completely dismissive of that as a notion.
Sure.
Or I thought it was going to be one of those things where, like, there was one guy that became a race car driver that in an interview one time
said, I played
Gran Turismo. Based on a true story.
Right, exactly.
Like, I thought it was going to be that. I didn't realize
the kid really did
how much of this appears to be a true story.
I mean, I think the actors do a good job. I think David Harbour's the standout. I think if you had an actor of a lesser caliber, like we said before, like, if you don't put David Harbour in this movie, I think it's going to lose something that makes it feel really grounded, and he gives a performance that really makes you, it's relatable, it's like
he is not phoning it in.
No, he's the voice of reason. He's like, you know, saying things that even though you want the main character to succeed, you're like, yeah, this guy, like, knows what he's talking about. It comes down to the final race. There's like three people left. It's the last day. They have this big race, and there's a photo finish. This is what we talked about earlier, where it's Maddie from the US and
not Dave Franco
and Jan
Hammer.
And it's a photo finish, 1/1000th of a second. I mean, it's right there. And they have to go to the replay. And David Harbour's playing it back, play it back, play it back. And
luckily,
he's like,
Sony cameras.
Oh, yes, of course.
Have high frame rates.
Super high def, high frame rate. And so. Well, I'm sure they do use some really good cameras in this situation. But he's like, Jan did it. And then before they announce it, Orlando Bloom's like, wait. Are you sure this is what we want? And David Harbour's looking at him. And again, like, his acting chops. I mean, I really like this performance. He's looking at him, like, puzzled. He's like, what do you mean? He won. And then he's like, yeah, but by one like, Maddie's so good on the mic. And this is about the marketing.
And, like, I don't think Orlando Bloom's character is wrong.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
I get what he is
saying. Yeah, he's like, the difference is negligible. And this kid, the other kid, is going to be better in interviews selling the concept and the product.
This whole thing is a marketing campaign. Right. So, like, I get where he's coming from, but, you know, fair is fair, and Jan won.
Yeah.
And in racing, because Orlando Bloom is in the marketing department of a video game, right?
Right.
So, like, he's doing his marketing thing, but he's not on the track. He's not racing cars. And in that world, and I mean, I'm not super into it, but I can at least understand. I watch a lot of Cars, right? Cars plays a lot at my house. I understand. You know, Lightning McQueen does that photo finish at the end. I learned. It's very good stuff for learning about this.
But, you know, you could also make the argument that, like, Jan kind of had a good day at the right moment in time. Overall, the other guy had been better.
But the day of the race, when it comes
but it was
down
like
to
day
it.
Day in, day out, the other guy had been better. And he beats him by a hair in this one particular moment in time. Like, I know we're supposed to be rooting for Jan, but like, I'm not convinced that that was even necessarily the right choice, because the other guy had day in, day out been the better
driver. I get what you're saying. But you know, but by you hire David Harp,
you set up a system of metrics, and this is what we're going to go with.
Right. Yeah, and so if that's what they're going with, he's not going to lie, especially when he's running the thing, and he's like, he's just looking at him like, you know, like he's Hellboy. You know, he's looking at him like, I'm.
And I will also say they would have to go lie.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Like that would, you know, and I think we all know, if there's one thing corporate America doesn't do, it's lie.
Never. Absolutely
to
not. Yeah. This isn't a movie thing. They would never.
But there's a big difference between saying that, like, we know you won, but overall, we're going to give it to this other guy because, you know, but
imagine the PR nightmare of that.
But they would have to actually go down there and lie about who actually won.
Yeah, and then you'd have a whole room of people that saw the replay.
Who really won? Yeah,
it would be a scandal. I mean, Orlando Bloom would have to think about this for 5 seconds before he'd realize it won't work. He can't. Once everyone's pushing back, it's okay. I got no horse.
Yeah.
So anyway, Jan gets it. Long story short, they want him to compete in like the real racing circuit, like Le Mans and all these big things, but you have to have a certain racing license to enter those races, right? They don't want anyone to show up that has money in a fast car and be like, I'm going to race Le Mans. Like, no, there's people's lives at stake. Obviously, you're driving. I didn't realize cars went 300 miles. Okay, I thought
the one
200.
Was it like 377?
Yeah, and I seriously thought, and from playing the games and stuff, my recollection was like 200 is super fast, and they go that fast. When they're going 300, that's mind-blowing, because they say you're going to have more Gs than a rocket ship taking off, a spaceship.
Right.
And I just had no idea they were doing 300. That to me is insane.
Same.
That any human can go around corners, and I know they're not doing 300 around the corner, but going into it, they're like they have to slow down and everything. Like, just for your body.
So,
to be,
what are they doing? 250
right,
around the
200?
Corner?
200? Yeah, especially in those low. Like Le Mans uses like the F1, the short stock car, not stock cars. That's Daytona, but formula cars, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
And they're low to the ground, and those things go so fast and handle so crazy. But anyway, they need to get his license so he can do the main race, because the whole PR thing isn't like, we can have amateur race car drivers. It's like, no, we're going to have a guy compete in the big races. So he has to get his license. So he's entering all these little, and they're not small races. They're big, but you know, they're like
the
minor league circuit.
Yeah.
Right. They're minor league, but it was still a very big deal. So he competes. His first race, you know, goes decent, but he messes up because the jerk villain driver is there at every corner playing dirty, right? He hits him. He's about to get his fourth place, and he clips him, and he ends up finishing 17th. And they're like, oh, it's okay. It's your first time. But, you know, race after race after race, they're jet setting around the world. They show you. I like how they show him go up in the rankings. They just show little snippets of the race. They show his placement. He's getting, like, 14th, and then, you know, 11th, and then didn't finish. He got in a wreck. No one was hurt, but he got in a wreck, did not finish. He got 9th place. I don't know. I'm making these numbers up. It's just he's getting better and better and better.
Right.
But it comes down to the last race of the season, and they're not like, they don't have the money investment. They're not doing season 2 of Gran Turismo Academy. It's like, this is a one and done thing. Yeah. Like, make it work. And so there's one race left, and if he does not finish 4th place, he cannot get the license. They're not going to keep doing this. Like, it's over for Jan and the stream and the program. So it comes down to the last race, and you know, he does it. He does it.
Right.
I don't know. It happens. The bad guy almost gets him, but I think the bad guy makes a mistake and hit. There's two bad guys, and he does the thing where like there's three in a row, and he puts the brakes on, and they get almost in a wreck, and then the bad guy flips his car over right?
So somebody takes a corner too fast and crashes, and then debris cracks his windshield.
Okay. Yeah. And then he has
but
to,
he still
he's able to finish the
fourth.
Race. But the bad guy actually like crashes and does some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And anyway, comes down to the wire. He ends up getting 4th place. So he gets his license. Everyone's celebrating, and it's on to the big leagues. And they pull the girlfriend, not the girlfriend. He calls the girl he likes, and she's kind of been following him here and there. And she's like, I was wondering how many Facebook messages I'd have to like for you to call me. You know, it's a cute relationship. It's a fun little thing.
We get a scene here straight out of Bad News Bears Go to Japan.
Remind me, because I was thinking something was similar and I can't remember what it was.
There's the whole scene where Kelly Leak just in the middle of the movie goes on a date with the Japanese girl.
Yeah, that.
And there's just like 2 minutes montage of them on a date in Japan.
That stuff was a little cheesy. I wasn't so much into the date of it. I liked the relationship, but when they went out on the thing, I'm kind of like, oh, this feels out of place. There's something weird
about this.
This
felt like not necessary to the movie at all.
I agree. They were trying to give him a little humanization and have you care about the relationship, but it just, in the middle of all this stuff, it just felt kind of weird. But anyway, I think this is when he picks up the
this is where he gets the
Sony MP3
player. Sony, not a Zune.
Not a Zune.
Yeah.
MP3 player. If they used a Zune, that would have been pretty funny. But anyway, so he picks up the thing. So they're at a race. It's not, is it Le Mans? No, Le Mans, because that's
Le Mans,
the
like
I'm
the
sorry.
Final. It's
they're at, I don't, do, does it say what the,
well, I mean, Kevin, they're at the Nuremberging Nordschleife.
Oh my, how could I
shouldn't
forget?
Have to tell you this.
I know, I'm so sorry. I've
that's what happens when Joe isn't here.
I played Gran Turismo. What a shame. I should know all these tracks. So they're at the thing, and
but he comes around the Flugplatz corner.
Oh my gosh, was it Flugplatz corner?
Yeah, I don't even understand why I have to tell you all this.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but his car goes airborne.
So they show you Chekhov's wind forecast.
Yeah,
they show you it's a very windy day.
Yeah,
and so a freak accident occurs on Flugplatz corner.
Flugplatz corner.
Flugplatz corner, of course. Yeah. And the car picks up. He's going like 200 miles an hour, basically. Like, the villain is even, like, he's backing off because he kind of knows that, like, you shouldn't be going that fast. Like,
right.
He passes the guy up, and the guy's like, what the? And, I mean, Jan just has red in his eyes. He wants to beat the bad guy that's been screwing him over the whole time, and he floors it, and he's going, like, 300 miles an hour. Well, there's a little hill, and then the wind picks up, and his car goes straight up vertically, and it just flies through the fence and everything, and there's people there, and they're all scattering.
Guess Gran Turismo isn't as good of a simulator as we thought.
I don't think we can blame Gran Turismo for that one. I think Jan was a little overzealous on this.
Well, but if you're overzealous, the game should penalize you.
No, it will. I mean, you can crash in that game.
Well, then, why didn't his car ever lift up on Flugplatz corner?
It probably did. But see, this is the human, and this goes into what everyone else was saying, was it's like, you can't account for everything in any simulation. And actually, it's kind of the moral of the story, which I want to get to, which is kind of weird in the very end. We're almost there. But it's like, no matter how good a simulation is, there is something to say about doing the real thing.
I liked when his car is airborne and about to kill a guy. There's a shot of him just trying to hit reset. I want to start the slap over.
There, like, in video games, a lot of times you can do a rewind and it gives you 10 seconds back. So you can redo the corners. You can, like, not in like a big championship mode, but especially in practice,
when
there's a rewind.
When you're still
learning. Yeah. So anyway, big car wreck. I mean, it's just huge and it's really emotional. Like, again, because of, like,
he kills a guy. Like, and we should say, like, I'm being flippant, but like in real life, he kills a dude.
So this is all.
This part is absolutely true. And I will say, to his credit, Jan, as we will learn, is a stunt driver on the film. You know, he's involved with the making of the film.
He had to race that track.
He insisted that they put this as a plot point in the movie.
Wow.
Because he was like, that happened. And, like, he's like, if to just pretend like it didn't is kind of sleazy.
You can't erase that person's life.
I mean, like, but they didn't even say the person's name. But so they kind of did, but maybe that family didn't want that.
It's hard to say, but to sugarcoat it, and we talk about this in biopics all the time. Sanitized biopics are, they're boring and they're not the whole story.
Yeah.
And so to their credit, it seems like, again, I didn't do as much research, but it seemed very true to.
Well, by research, I read one Wikipedia page.
Hey, that's 100% more research than I did. So I saw the clips that looked the same, and they looked very similar. So anyway, he has to deal with that, and it's a really good scene. It's a whole, you know, David Harbour has started to really care for Jan over these races, and they've formed a friendship, almost like a fatherly bond type thing, and his performance is really good. Both actors do a really good job, but, you know, you feel the heartbreak when David Harbour's racing and trying to catch up to Jan and make sure he's okay, and he wakes up in the hospital, you know, and Jan is like, what happened? Did anyone get hurt? And they're like, yeah, unfortunately, one of the bystanders. And, you know, Orlando Bloom, he's not trying to be bad, but, like, he's saying, like, that's what this translates into. It's like the seats where he's at, the section is called, like, you know, watch your ass lane.
Yeah.
But the seating
in German means watch your ass.
That's not exactly. Yeah, yeah. So they were seating. That area is the caution zone. Like, you know, there's splash zones and there's danger. Like, you can choose. Like, if you go to sit in this area, watch out for foul balls, right?
Right.
Baseball.
Yeah.
If you're in that seating area.
That's why tickets for Flugplatz Corner were available on Groupon.
Right. So he kills the guy, and he's basically like, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. Like, and I get that. And the actor, Archie, gives a really good performance, and you know that struggle. And this is where the audience learns what happened. He takes... Once, you know, a couple days pass and his parents are trying to call him and all this stuff. And it's a really dramatic, like the mom is giving a really good performance. And the
Ginger
dad,
Spice.
No way.
Yeah.
Is it really? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I couldn't tell who that was.
Yeah.
What's her real name?
Jerry Howell Jerry something.
Yeah. Okay. She looks so familiar, yeah. But I couldn't. Okay. And, you know, and the dad, Damon Hansu, is like just stone faced because, you know, he just like doesn't even know what to think. Like they yeah. saw their kids in an accident. They're halfway around the world. Not halfway around the world. They're far away. They can't right. do anything. And yeah, you know, I keep thinking America, right? We're so like American centric.
Yeah.
Like, they're not in America. They're in the UK.
It must so be it's far away. Yeah. yeah.
But anyway, a couple days pass or whatever. And we realize David Harbour's like, I'm not going to, in his head, he's going through, I'm not going to let what happened to me happen to this kid.
Right.
So he takes him back to the site of the accident, and he's like, I was racing and not in the same spot, but he's like, I killed someone.
Yeah.
And I hung it up. I couldn't do it again. And he's like, don't, like, I could have been the best, but.
And he's like, now I regret it.
Yeah.
I went, you know, like, there are.
I never got to find out.
There are inherent risks in this sport, mm-hmm. and, you know, and that's just, and don't let that stop you. Or if it does stop you, make that decision knowing what you're giving up.
Knowing exactly. Because yeah. you'll never know. I could have been the best and I'll never know. And you have the opportunity. And do you want to find out, basically?
Yeah.
And so he's like, take the keys. And so, again, like, that's nice. They had the day after the race and the accident, there was a bring your car to the track.
Right.
So he gets in his. Now, it was weird. He's driving a Porsche. And I'm like, that's really weird for a movie that's all about Nissans.
I know.
That they let the David Harbour character drive this Porsche, totally different car brand. I guess maybe they could sell a different ad, but
yeah, I don't know.
They've really focused. Like, I know that's a Porsche, yeah. and I'm calling it a Porsche. I'm not calling it a Porsche. So anyway, but he gives him the keys. He lets him drive, and you know, Jan gets his confidence. You can see like he's gonna finish this thing, and so they're like,
and then
"Hey,
he kills another guy."
No, we does
it
not.
Was awful.
So Orlando Bloom's like, "Hey guys, I'm glad you're back in it. I'm excited. You know, that's great that you're back into it. Bad news is Nissan wants to pull out and wants nothing to do with right. this risk anymore."
Yeah.
And then it
turns out corporations don't like it when you kill people.
No, they don't.
That's their job.
So they basically say, like, we've got one last shot before you can compete in any other of these whatever races. They want to show a team of sim drivers racing Le Mans. Again, I don't know. Finishing ones, what do you call it? Placing on the podium.
Like,
first, second, or third place.
Right.
Gold medal, whatever. Meddling, I don't know what
I think they keep saying, like, podium. Being on the podium.
Yeah. Which means, like, the Olympics, first, right. second, or third. So, which I would call meddling. I'm trying to think of, like, a term for racing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, podiuming. Okay. So, winning.
One of the winners. Yeah.
So, anyway, they want a team to race. So they get Mr. First, second, and they get second and third.
Bring in not Dave Franco
and friend.
Yeah, and the other guy.
Yeah, Spanish guy.
And I think this is true too. Like
they did this.
Yeah, because wow. like I know that the that other guy is like is now also a racer,
wow.
and they brought him in because he had been racing professionally
right.
at a lower level, so he had spent all this okay. time. He was still racing. So like if.
And you know how good he was because he was the
right.
other guy.
And so, but he did end up racing professionally because,
cool.
like, if you think about it, if they were all just kids, well, they wouldn't have been driving for, like, a year at this point.
Yeah.
They would be really rusty.
Right.
So, like, the movie doesn't, I don't think, really explains this, but when I looked it up, that he had been
that's
racing
awesome.
This whole time.
But
so, and I think he is also still a racer to this
cool.
day, I think.
Well, and it's really exciting. You know, as far as movie stuff goes, I think the race scenes are all pretty exciting. I don't think they're like the best ever filmed racing scenes, but they're
competent.
Yeah, but they're fun. They're entertaining. They yeah. had me, you know, eating my popcorn.
This movie did not need to be over 2 hours long.
No,
it was like 206.
Was it? Okay.
And that was, this movie should have been like a minute, like an hour 50.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. But they're exciting, and this was a good movie moment, and it's cool that it really happened. They're like, we'll call up the other sim drivers, and this is it. Like, the only way that they're ever going to continue with this program is to see if a team, like, is this a fluke, or the other sim drivers, can they actually race, place at
Le
Mans?
Yeah. we're really worried about the fact that you killed a guy. So here's
what
we're thinking.
Let's
bring in more amateur people and make them race for 24 hours nonstop and see if they kill anybody.
Yeah, I don't. It's a very strange logic, but I guess it happened. I don't really understand the.
It appears to have happened, but I don't
understand Nissan's logic. We will only greenlight the sim racer program. We're
if
worried
we can
about
make
one,
it
but
even riskier.
Yeah, so it's strange.
We know the guy who was the best in our program killed a guy. What's the second best guy gonna do? What? Let's give that a. Give that a shot.
Yeah. Those lines weren't directly from the movie. That's a commentary. Just so the listeners are clear.
It was a deleted scene.
So they have them. It's an exciting moment. It's a good scene. You know, Le Mans, I mean, this is a real race. 24-hour Le Mans. Yeah. There's.
I know it's a big race because I've heard of it.
Have you heard of the video game?
Yes.
Okay. So there's 24-hour Le Mans Dreamcast game, which is really good. It's a really fun racing game. So
can you actually play it for 24 hours?
That just seems crazy. I mean, I don't know. I
but
never
I guess the
have,
racers but... don't actually race for 24 hours because they take shifts.
Yeah, they probably have some way to skip or break it up or whatever. But anyway, but this is a real race where the team of drivers, I think they said no one can drive for
more than 14 hours. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why I remember that because it's been like 2.5 weeks since I've seen this movie, but... For some reason, that stuck in my head.
There you go. They take shifts, and there's not like a sequence they have to do it in. Like, I don't know, in some sports, it's like the first person goes, then you have to do whatever.
Right.
It's like, they just take shifts, and as long as it doesn't total up over 14. So, you know, they're doing their thing. The rain, the weather changes, all this stuff happens, day, night, all this stuff. And it comes down to the very last hour or two or whatever. The Spanish guy is, you know, the third place simulator driver is getting really tired. He's kind of lost a couple places, and they're like, Jan, you want to bring this thing home? And he's like, yeah, I'm ready. Oh, and Jan goes through a crisis of faith. He's driving. He starts flashing back to killing someone, and he slows down and snaps out of it when there's a moment where David Harbour brings his Not Zune and starts playing Kenny G. It's an in-joke where Jan pumps himself up by listening to classical music.
Like kind of reaches his zen state, which is also true.
Okay. And they said at the end of the movie he listens before every race to Kenny G and what's her name, and Enya, and so anyway David Harbour can't snap him out of it. He plays it over the radio. Jan gets really mad and upset, and David Harbour's like, you mad? Good, let's win this thing. And so anyway, changes shifts, the other guy's getting tired, and then the next day, you know, he's like, Jan, bring this home. He's like, I'm ready. So he gets in the car, does his thing, and then he ends up finishing third.
Well, he wins by not using the racing lines.
Okay. This is the thing. If I had one complaint, this is my biggest complaint besides all the advertisements and all that other stuff. Okay, Gran Turismo is such an excellent driving simulator. The best. It's the best driving simulator. So you should not take its advice and drive on the red line, which means don't do that. That's how you win the races. Doesn't that seem like an exact opposite endorsement of the simulator?
Yeah.
I was shocked because playing these games, they show you what turns not to take.
I would thought they would have made a bigger deal because in the beginning of the movie, they show him not doing what the game recommends.
Yeah.
And he makes a comment about how, well, this is the way, this is a way to beat a guy. He goes, but sometimes you crash and die and you just have to start over. And so I thought that they'd play on that it's like, he was taking a risk doing it because obviously in a video game, if you crash and die, you start over.
I mean, this is Obi-Wan Kenobi and Luke Skywalker.
Right.
That's what this is.
Yeah.
It's the whole scene is him putting on his blast shield and just feeling it, you know, and Obi-Wan saying, just feel it.
And it says he broke a lap record. I don't think he did. I looked up lap records and I could not find, and sure, this has been 20 years. It might've been broken again. I couldn't find anything that seemed to indicate he actually did it. Again, not a sports guy. Yeah. That was just me doing a quick Google.
Oh.
I could not find anything that seemed to indicate he had actually broken a lap record.
It just seems weird with all the accurate stuff that they would put that in if he didn't break something.
Agreed,
kind of
especially because by saying that, you're also kind of stealing that honor from whoever actually did it.
I would be interested to see if they
for sure.
Really
I just don't know if I missed it or,
But I just thought this was weird because, I mean, I get that it's a simulation and that's cool in a game to think outside the box and all that, but if Gran Turismo, as they've told us, is the best of the best, you can't go like, oh, don't listen to it, because it's like, well, the best would tell you, no, this is the best. There is no better than the best.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a very weird, conflicting message that Gran Turismo is so good, but follow the red line that it tells you not to take, and you'll actually win. But again, it's the whole, you know,
yeah,
use the force. And
but I will say there's always things like that in games where it's like, there's the way that you should always do it, but sometimes there's these little quirks of the game. But
I get it when it's not a world-class driving simulator.
But also, like, just because it's a quirk of the game doesn't mean it works in real life.
Right.
But remember, there was a guy just a few months ago that did something like that from a video game where it was, like, in the final lap, and he just, like, hit the outside wall and, like, gunned it and was, like, scraping along the wall.
But that ended up...
But he won... Because he was like, oh, I learned it playing a video game. He said the name of the video game might even been this.
Oh, right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But and now they were like, should we get rid of this move? Because it's kind of dangerous. He deliberately crashed his car into a wall.
He used it as a guide. Okay. So I don't know. It just felt a little weird. I'm not saying it ruins the whole thing, but in my head it was making me think, like, I'm surprised they put that in there not follow the right.
Yeah, it did seem a little odd.
Yeah.
So he comes in third.
Yeah, so he hit the podium.
What they don't tell you is in his class.
Oh?
Like, he's not third overall.
Oh.
He's third in his class. And so...
So he didn't win third place at Le Mans, overall?
He came in ninth.
Oh, I looked that up. Sneaky movie.
And it was, like, third in his class.
So
they have all these different...
Different types of cars.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Whatever. I know in Gran Turismo, you play Class A, Class S, the supercar class. You know, there's all the different classes of cars. So different cars compete, and then he won third of the whatever car.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, he was
third.
I mean,
still an incredible achievement.
For sure.
By a team of video game players.
Absolutely.
Sim drivers.
But honestly, the fact that they only killed one guy is an achievement. Wow.
It's horrible.
It's horrible that the guy died. I'm surprised they didn't kill more people, because on paper this seems like a stupid idea.
The fact that the program did not go catastrophically wrong.
Right.
They didn't kill themselves in the drive. I mean, I can't believe one of these sim drivers at Gran Turismo Academy didn't just crash into a wall and set on fire, right?
For real. Those cars are hard to control.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like,
it's crazy.
Agreed.
So, I mean, it's a really neat moment. You know, the family's all there. You've got the family, the mom, the dad, the girlfriend, the friend from the cafe. So they're all there cheering him on, and they're celebrating with him. And it's a big, nice movie moment. You know, David Harbour's happy, and he's kind of gotten out of grump mode. He's become part of the family and their friends, and he's, you know, warmed up to this whole idea. And they show all the, like, you know, Jan did this in real life. He's still racing. He was his own stunt double in the movie. They showed pictures of him. Like, they redid Damon Hansu and a little kid by a car.
Yeah.
And then they show the real picture of Jan and his dad by a car. And, like, they recreated things very accurately.
They did.
They showed the real Jan and the actor next to each other on set. And, it was just in the dad in his soccer jersey and everything. And I mean, I enjoyed this movie a lot. I didn't love it. It wasn't perfect, but I left it being thoroughly entertained. I was impressed by how well they followed the video game.
I was relatively indifferent on this movie, which I think is probably the best I could hope for. I don't really care about sports. I don't really care about video games. And I was just
that was okay.
It was fine.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I mean, it kept my interest. I do think it's interesting for someone that doesn't play the games to have enjoyed it. I think that's a good sign that, you know, whether you played the games or not, don't think this is like, oh, I have to play the games to understand
it. No,
it's
not
a very accessible movie.
For sure.
And there are those things like the Easter eggs for the nerds, for the people that have played the games. All those things are in there, and I think it does a good enough job where you get it. Like, they show you him playing the game and breaking into the simulation. Like, it's the language the film conveys.
Right.
Hey, this is a game mechanic. Yeah. And it was clever the way those camera angles, I'm telling you, the way they recreate them, you wouldn't know not playing the game, but like the way they pull out from the car and you can choose different angles and where the camera sat. I mean, it was a perfect recreation.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is cool that they put those little things in there.
Yeah. I mean, you need to, if it's going to be based on the game.
For sure.
You need to have some connective tissue.
Yeah. But it was fun.
So, okay. Well, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the shortened table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett. And you may have noticed last week we dropped the pilot episode of Circle of Wizards, which is myself and Matt F. Basler.
Well, that's doing... not a circle.
Well,
I mean, 2 points is not a circle. That's a line.
No. There's a circle around. We're in the circle.
I mean, I'm not very good at math, but I remember that much from geometry.
No.
2 points is a line.
So Madoff Bosler and myself, we talk about video games. If you listen to the episode, you'll understand the title and why it's called Circle of Wizards.
Line of Wizards.
But you can go subscribe to that now. The first episode you probably heard on the Real Spoilers feed, but there's a, you know, feed for Circle of Wizards. So it's on Apple. It's on all of them, really, except for Google is being kind of weird. Maybe by the time you listen to this, it will be up. But I had to manually add the link to my Google podcast.
Yeah, Google takes a while.
So I think it will pop up, but on the Facebook post, if you're... You don't have to be a part of the group, but if you go to facebook.com/realspoilers, on the post, I have every like Apple link to the podcast there, the RSS feed to put in your Google if you want to add it. So check it out, though. If you're into video games, I mean, I know we talked a lot about it coincidentally on this episode.
Yeah.
It's a good tie-in to the episode.
This will be episode 2 of Line of Wizards.
Basically, you've entered the circle. Yeah. So anyway, check it out. It's a fun. I mean, we're talking about old games mainly, but there's going to be some new stuff sprinkled in. And, you know, if you're a fan of Matt, it's going to be a regular show with him on it. So
okay, awesome. And you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And, of course, don't forget our Patreon. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Hunt's Gear Shifter breaks.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.